Hi und herzlich willkommen zum Podcast von Social Restaurant. Mein Name ist Paul und in diesem Podcast dreht sich alles um das Thema digitales Marketing innerhalb der Gastronomie. Egal ob mehr Kundschaft, mehr Umsatz oder größere Bekanntheit, hier wird dir erklärt, wie auch dein Restaurant von all den Möglichkeiten des modernen Marketings profitieren kann. Mehr Informationen zu uns auf socialrestaurant.de oder direkt hier in den Shownotes. Viel Spaß beim Podcast. Alright. So, herzlich willkommen zur neuesten Podcast-Folge. Heute in Englisch. Weil wir haben einen Podcast-Gast aus ursprünglich Italien und kommt von einer Firma, die wir auch vor letzten Wochen schon mal interviewt hatten, und zwar von Disco Eat. Und heute haben wir den Nicolo im Podcast. Und jetzt switche ich in diesem Fall auf Englisch, um einfach die Konversation fließend zu machen. Ich hoffe, das ist okay für euch. Ansonsten einfach gerne mir Feedback geben. So, yeah, Nicolo, welcome in my Social Restaurant Podcast and thanks for your time, thanks for joining me. And I don't want to talk so much about me now because you can introduce yourself. So feel free and say something about you.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me here. As you mentioned, I'm Nicolo. I'm from Italy. And I'm working actually outside of Italy since 7 years. I moved to Berlin back in the days for Zalando, where I was actually working in the marketing department, taking care of campaigns and online marketing for Italy. And then I moved to Foodpanda. That's where I got into the restaurant industry, where I worked for 4 years and a half. Was first global head of operations for Foodpanda, and then I moved to Hong Kong as managing director there. And I had the possibility to get into this amazing market where I can enjoy amazing food as we're doing now. And that was not the only time I was actually working in the gastronomy industry. It was, I started actually when I was 16, working as a waiter and a bartender, where I worked for almost 4 years in and out. It was so fascinating. And so I said that I need to go back. And now here I am with the Disco Eat, trying new food for a little bit less price.
Nice. It's today a premiere because you are the first person talking in English, first. And second, it's really nice because you have the big experience of a waiter, of a bartender, and you are the first real person who is doing real marketing. All the other podcast guests usually were people who were owning a restaurant or influencer doing kind of marketing but not really professional, and you are the first guy who I think can talk about numbers and knows how a market reacts when you do something and so on, Facebook ads and statistics analytics and so on. So it's pretty interesting for me as well to talk to someone who knows the marketing area and the food area. So pretty interesting now, and I hope it's also interesting for some restaurant owners who listen here. So not sure, maybe, I hope so. Let me first start with a question. Okay, now the people know already, you are from Disco Eat, and we had Moritz already in the podcast here, and we talked about the Disco Eat concept, how it works and how the customer can benefit from the deals and what they get and so on. Now, let's see what's your vision about Disco Eat, what's behind it, where do you see Disco Eat in 5 years? And maybe second question at the same time, how's going the market in London?
So I think in a startup world it's always difficult to answer the question where we're going to be in 5 years. I think the vision of the company is to make sure that every single restaurant can benefit from what we're actually doing, so having them optimizing their utilization and fill the empty seats. So definitely want to make sure that we create a good partnership with all the restaurants and we let them understand what we're actually doing, so to bring more people to their empty tables, because it costs money. Every single empty seat costs money to restaurants. So we want to actually help them to fulfill their demand, especially outside of the normal hours where people will go to eat. And on the other side, I think, when you have the possibility to have a discount as a customer, and having the same exact great experience that you would have, why not? So I think in 5 years, the idea is that we're going to be able to expand to other markets. We're going to be able to make the brand bigger and ideally going to US, Latin America, expand all Europe. I mean, of course, everything is going to be depending on fundings on one side and also on the traction that we will see in different areas. But the idea is to get around the world with our idea, with our concept. Second question. Regarding London, I mean, London, we started London 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
So we see that we are starting having the first traction in London. Of course, like when you start in a new market, there is always, you always need to fulfill the demand. So now we acquired more than 50 restaurants. We actually have 60 restaurants live in London. And we now need to make sure that we bring people to the restaurant. So for us, it always like when you start, it always it takes always a little bit of time because people don't know whether they can trust the application or the or something new in the market. So you need to create trust, and you can create it through offline or online, through giving the right messages, and also through partnership with different, as you mentioned, influencers, for example, or with other people that are already known in the industry, right? So a restaurant can also promote our brand, but I think the most important thing is being present into the social media and being present through PR, through offline, to make sure that everyone start having the first impression. I mean, in marketing, usually it always takes around 7-8 impressions before somebody makes a purchase. So if you're only present in one thing, automatically it's really difficult that the person will start. You always have pioneers that do the first move, but for the others, it always takes a little bit longer, and also for recommendation.
Yeah. So you started here in Berlin, right? For the first place, okay. To be honest, Berlin is a pretty cheap place for restaurant. Some weeks ago, I was in Potsdam, so it's next to Berlin, not far away, and I was eating in a Chinese, Asian restaurant, like here in Berlin, there are thousands. And I was kind of shocked of the prices, because here in Berlin you can go and eat some duck and rice noodles with peanut butter sauce for, I don't know, 9 euro, and there it was 19 euros. So I was pretty shocked about the prices, but it was kind of normal. And I think also in other cities like Munich or also maybe in Hamburg and so on, there are similar prices to it. And I think Berlin is pretty cheap. Do you see any big gaps between the, I think, prices in the cities? For example, London is also a pretty expensive city. Is it harder to, I think, convince the people there to use the app, or compared to Berlin?
So I think at the end, the prices are always depending on the fixed cost of the restaurant, right? If you have a restaurant and you pay 1,000 euros per month for the rent, or you pay 10,000 euros per month for the rent, it makes a huge difference on the price on the items that you're selling. So, of course, the fact that London is much more expensive in terms of rent than Berlin, it makes a big difference in terms of pricing. On the other hand, Berlin is changing a lot, especially in the last few years. It's been changing a lot, and the rent price is increasing, the cost of the stuff is increasing, the cost of the food is increasing. So at the end, it's always the prices are always reflected based also on the amount of people that go to the restaurant. So in those areas where you don't have much demand, automatically the prices at a certain point increase, because if restaurant cannot be full, either closes down or needs to increase the prices. In those areas where the restaurants are always full, the prices can actually go down. I'm always a fan of, there is one of the best pizza place in Naples. Mm-hmm. You go there, they only have two pizzas. One costs 3 euros, the other one costs 3.50. Mm-hmm. And if you take any other restaurant in the world, I don't think anybody can sell a pizza for 3 euros or 3.50. So it's always a combination of how many people you have in your restaurant, the cost of the rent, and the fixed cost that the restaurant has in general. That's why what we're trying to do is to help the restaurant to decrease the fixed cost, optimizing their demand, and getting more people to the restaurant so they can decrease the fixed cost and make more revenues. Even if there is a discount, at the end they can always cover the cost partially. And the reason why this restaurant can actually have €3, €3.50 the entire time, it's because they have a queue of 20 meters outside at every single time of the day. And 20 meters is totally off-peak. So if the restaurant is always fully booked and there has a huge turnover, then automatically you can make more revenues with a lower price.
Yeah, true. Yeah, okay, makes sense. Where do we see the biggest mistake that restaurant owners do in the modern time now, where we have so many possibilities to do marketing, to acquire customers in any way? So you are one solution, but there's so much more outside. Where do you see the biggest problem that restaurant, what are doing restaurant owner really wrong?
Yeah, I think it's not that they're doing something wrong, it's just that the restaurant industry compared to other industry hasn't developed as much as others. If you take the hotel industry or the airways industry, they actually changed in the last 40, 50 years drastically. But they can actually optimize on pricing, they can optimize on capacity, on utilization, and they always try to find ways to actually make your flight ticket cheaper or your hotel room cheaper if they can, right? In the restaurant industry, at the end, people go out for the food. And there's been not so much development in that. I mean, now, it's in the last 5 years, we've seen like food delivery companies doing that. And now there are influencer companies that brings influencer to the restaurant. Then there is us, booking table platform in general. I mean, now there is the first development of that. And this is the new way also of doing marketing. I mean, if you take like how it was done in the past, most of the restaurants were making posters themselves outside. They were putting advertisement on the newspaper, and these things are not possible anymore in the sense that you can still do it, but for the restaurant it would be high costly.
Yeah.
Because if you think like if you put a poster outside, whenever it costs you, let's say 10, just to make a random number, if it costs you 10, for the single restaurant it costs 10. For a company that does marketing for the restaurant, it doesn't cost 10 for one restaurant, it costs 10 for multiple restaurants. So at the end, the company can optimize on one side and the restaurant can still get the traction that needs to get, right? I think the restaurant at the moment, there are a lot of things they need to do, but I think as long as the food is great, there's always gonna be a company that can support them in bringing customer there, because at the end, it's all about referral, recommendation, and word of mouth. So whether I try it on Discoit or another platform at the end, it's just because of that. And Discoit, it's a great opportunity for them to discover all the great restaurants. We want to have all the great restaurants on our platform and to make sure that our customers are gonna be happy on the recommendation that we basically give with our sales. And then it creates automatically trust into the restaurant that are on our platform, and this restaurant will benefit from that.
So, are you planning to place a badge somewhere outside in the restaurant, as like TripAdvisor have these thick badges, so you can see from far away, oh, look, there's a Disco Eat restaurant, we can trust it because it's on the platform. Are you planning anything like this?
I think, yeah, we can. We actually have like already trust buttons that we give to the restaurant, the stickers to put outside and so on. On the other side, every single customer is different. I believe that even when you go on any review platform without mentioning any, the amount of reviews that are there and the reviews that are there are based on completely different customer with different segment. My perception of the food here might be completely different than your perception of food here, right? I mean, the food might be great, but maybe you are more sensitive on price. I might be more sensitive on the quality of the food, and I might not like a certain type of food that maybe are selling in this restaurant, right? So at the end, the best is always being able to segment customer, to give recommendation and convey the right customer to the restaurant. If you take any review platform, you only have a mix of everything and you don't know what it is, like your perfect target group, right? So, and that's what we also want to build with this create. It's creating a segmentation of customer within the platform where you can actually trust your friends, for example, that went already to that restaurant because you know that they have your taste or your like, they feel like the same kind of restaurant. Mm-hmm. Right? And it doesn't mean excluding one or another, but it just makes sure that you can follow people that have the same, want to have the same experience as you do. And we want to have within the platform every single type of restaurant, so everyone can go wherever they want. There is we don't want to have any discrimination there because it doesn't make any sense. And it's not that a pricey restaurant is better than a cheap restaurant. That's not the difference. The difference is just what the customer wants his experience, and we need to make sure that we bring that to the customer.
Yeah. You said that you worked at Foodpanda? Foodpanda. And they are focused on delivery, right?
Yeah.
So, maybe you can say something about the experience in the last 4 years now. Do you see a huge increase of delivery in the restaurant area? So is it going bigger and bigger and bigger every year or every month?
Yeah, I mean, Foodpanda, that is part of Delivery Hero Group at the end.
But I mean, in general, yes, delivery is
in all the markets, of course, like delivery, it's something that is booming and it's growing. And also because like less and less people have time to cook at home. So a lot of people, when they arrive late from home or something, the first thing they think is like, okay, let me get some food and get it home. And I think the fact that now is not only the McDonald's or Domino's that are actually doing delivery, it actually brings to the experience, to the customer, a different flavor on the table. I still think that even if I worked there for many years and I think the idea, the concept is great, I still think that experience at the restaurant is completely different. You have service, the food is cooked and prepared there, and when you taste it, it has a different flavor. So that's why we believe that bringing back people to the restaurant is the new trend, because at the end you can only have the great experience there, and it's not only about the food, it's also about the entire environment that is around you.
Connection, other people talking, and the atmosphere, of course, right?
Let's go away just from Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. So it's boring to sit at home in front of Netflix and eating your sushi, so go out and enjoy the atmosphere. Yeah, true, right. Okay, so one question I'm always asking is, what is your behavior when you are in a new city and you are looking for restaurants? How are you going to decide where to go?
So most of the time I try to connect to the people that I know in that place, if I know.
Okay, you know nobody. Imagine you know nobody. You are now in, I don't know, somewhere.
Sure.
Hong Kong. You're in Hong Kong now. What is your first step? How are you, what is your behavior?
So the first step, I will try to understand what are the restaurants that are actually full, if I'm walking on the street, or I'm gonna go on online and gonna check what are like the best restaurant that you have, or the best app for restaurant in the country. And there I'm gonna try to check from the reviews or from other suggestions what is the best restaurant for the thing that I want to have. Then I scroll it, I check it, sometimes I check it also on Instagram, but I try to have from the picture on one side and from the app that are there, the perception of what is the best restaurant for my taste.
So you say you go in the internet and you are looking for another app or a platform where the recommendations for restaurants are visible.
If this grid would be there, I would just go on this grid.
Yeah, of course, it would be the best way.
But otherwise, yes.
Okay, so you don't just go to Google and type in Asian cuisine or sushi and just show on the map. You go to specific web pages and try to see recommendations from web pages and reviews and so on, and then you decide.
Yeah, I would say that if I have already in mind like a specific cuisine or something, the best thing is always going on Google, type the best 5 restaurant for this and that. But whenever you do that, most of the time you find recommendation for the same restaurant where everyone goes. So I'm always trying to understand something different than the thing where everyone goes. So I try to look at the apps that are in the place and try to understand how like the rating varies between different apps and try to see where I should actually go. Every single app has completely different ratings most of the time from other platform. I think Google rating is quite reliable. It depends on the places. Mm-hmm. That's why we use it for our platform. But it needs to be something to give you an idea of what is the place. At the end, what lets you understand how the place is pictures and the food that you want to eat. So if there are menus, if there are items there that I can see what is there, and there are nice pictures where I can actually see what kind of food am I going to have and how the restaurant looks like and so on, it gives me a much better perception than just typing something on Google and just see it.
I agree. What is the most important point for you when you're looking? The reviews? Or?
No, at the end it's the images.
Images.
I just try to understand whether the images are the same across platform, because sometimes you have great images and you don't know whether this is going to be exactly the experience. But that's also why what we do, we always try to make sure that we have the picture of the restaurant taken at the restaurant, because that's the food you want to eat.
Yeah, that's what I see as well. It's really, really, really important to have nice pictures, nice content, videos that can show people the inside, how the team maybe looks like. Also really important to show pictures from the team, because then you get an overview, you get a feeling for the restaurant. And because some restaurants only have picture of the food and then even in bad quality, so it doesn't say anything. But when you have authentic, nice feelings on a picture, it gives you an overview. So okay, first picture, second review maybe?
Yeah, I'll check the review, of course, if the restaurant, the reviews are not great. And for that, based on the different places, it can be Google or it can be reviews on different platforms. But then after that, it's the menu, because at the end you want to see that there is the dish that you're looking for.
Is it important for you to see the menu online already, that you can browse and see what's on the card?
For me, it's important to have at least a snapshot of the menu. Why so? It's just because it depends on which food you're going to eat, but it happened to me many times that I see an amazing Italian restaurant, for example, somewhere in the world, and I look at it and I'm like, ah, perfect, amazing, and then I look at it and it's like, ah, that's this restaurant, from the menu I can see that it's not Italian. So what are my expectations? Maybe it's gonna be amazing. Doesn't mean anything on one side, but I always try to find authenticity. The same is when you're looking for a Chinese restaurant, a Vietnamese restaurant, a German restaurant. It doesn't matter where it's from, but when you see authenticity, then automatically it brings you trust in what you're going to eat. And especially when you're traveling because you want to have something local.
Yeah.
And if you want to have something local, you want to make sure that it's done by somebody from the place.
Yeah. Cool. Really nice. Okay, that's it from my side. Anything you want to say?
Just book on Discoid now.
perfect ending. So I would say we enjoy our burgers now. They're kind of cold, I think. But thanks for joining. And let's see. I said to Moritz some weeks ago that we will have another podcast in some months to see how London is going or other markets. So I think maybe we can do an interview together, three persons in one microphone.
Fly to London and try something there.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that would be really cool. Okay. All right. Then thanks for joining and let's enjoy the burger.
Perfect.
Und ja, auch an euch Gäste, danke fürs Zuhören. Ich hoffe, ihr habt alles verstanden soweit. Und sollten irgendwelche Fragen sein, auch zum Thema Discoid allgemein, schreibt mich gerne mal an. Ich vernetze euch gerne mit Nicolo oder mit Moritz. Und ja, wir lassen uns jetzt schmecken. In deinem Sinne, vielen Dank. Bis zur nächsten Folge.
Das war's für heute, oder wie man bei euch sagen würde, die Rechnung bitte. Und auch bei mir gilt, Tip ist not included. Daher würde ich mich riesig freuen, wenn du diesen Podcast abonnierst und mit deinem Netzwerk teilst. Mehr Tipps und Tricks gibt's auf socialrestaurant.de oder hier in den Shownotes. Bis dahin, Cheers, Prost und viel Erfolg beim Umsetzen.